As Nate Farnham charged him, Miller clawed at the gun on his hip, and John Henry knew exactly what was likely to happen here in the blacksmith's shop in the next couple of seconds if he didn't intervene. John Henry threw himself forward, bullying into Miller and taking him by surprise. That put John Henry right in the path of Nate's charge. The heavy metal tongs swept at his head. He ducked swiftly. The tongs hit his hat and knocked it flying off his head, but that was all they hit. Nate barreled into John Henry like a runaway freight.
Nate! No! Stop it, Nate!
Nate didn't listen. He brought the tongs down. John Henry managed to roll aside just at the last second. John Henry lashed out with a foot, hooked it behind one of Nate's ankles, and heaved. Nate stumbled, thrown off balance by the move. John Henry launched a kick with his other foot. The heel of his boot drove against Nate's thigh. It was like kicking a tree and did about as much good. Nate dropped the tongs, reached down, and gripped the front of John Henry's shirt with sausage-like fingers. Suddenly, John Henry felt himself lifted. Nate Farnham handled him like he didn't weigh anything. John Henry found himself flying through the air. An instant later, he slammed into a wall of the blacksmith shop with stunning force. John Henry couldn't marshal his thoughts, and he couldn't force his muscles to work as Nate stampeded toward him. At the last moment, Carl Miller loomed behind Nate. The gun in his fist rose and fell. John Henry watched Nate get knocked out through blurry eyes. His vision cleared just in time for him to see the blacksmith come up behind Miller with a hammer lifted. John Henry pulled his Colt. The bullet's impact tore the handle from Farnham's grip. Miller whirled around and thrust his gun at the blacksmith.
Don't kill him!
John Henry used his free hand to push himself up to a sitting position.
I've got him covered.
Miller hesitated with his finger on the trigger. Then his face contorted in a snarl, and he stepped forward to slash the gun across Farnham's face. John Henry climbed wearily to his feet. Nate Farnham lay senseless on the ground, still stunned from the pistol whipping Miller had dealt out to him. John Henry circled the big form and kept his gun pointed at Nate's father.
You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to hurt my boy.
He was about to stomp Deputy Cobb to death. You saw it with your own eyes, Farnham.
I could have stopped him if you'd given me a chance.
I don't take chances with addle-pated animals like that boy of yours.
Don't you talk about him like that. Nate's a good boy. He's sweet and obedient, and he never hurt anybody unless he was pushed into it.
Yeah, he looked harmless when he was trying to stove our heads in with those tongs. Drag him over to the jail, Farnham. He could have just spent one night behind bars for disrespecting the law. The attempted murder of two peace officers is a lot worse. He may not see the outside of a cell for a long time.
Now, you can't do that. You just can't.
Oh, don't worry. You'll be keeping him company. You tried to kill me, so you'll be locked up too. You came at me with that hammer. Cop, you'll testify to that since you're the one who shot it out of his hand. That was mighty good shooting, by the way.
Thanks.
John Henry's insides were in a turmoil, but he made an effort not to show it. The idea of locking up the two Farnhams and charging them with attempted murder went against the grain. Technically, he suspected the charges were true enough, but Miller had goaded the father and son into reacting violently. John Henry couldn't do anything to try to stop it, though, without casting suspicion on his pose as John Cobb. He didn't want to do that when his mission here in Chico was just getting underway. At gunpoint, Farnham reached down, grasped Nate's ankles, and dragged him out of the blacksmith shop.